Welcome to the Sunday Morning Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Adrian Moore.
Let's just carry on hearing God, can we? Okay. God talks in silence as well. He talks in a burning bush. His voice calms like thunder. That's what we've sung. That's what we've sung over us, over this body, over this town, over this nation. And we pray through Jesus, helped by the Holy Spirit, direct line to God. So Father God, let us hear, receive from you and respond to your calling on each of our lives. Yours, 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 yours. Each of our lives. God unravels you with a melody. He surrounds you with a song of deliverance from all your fears, all your enemies, till all of your fears are gone. You are no longer, I am no longer, a slave to fear, but I am. And each of you, you, each of us is a son, whether male or female. We are a son and heir of God. Pastor Paul and others have been talking, teaching, and leading about the call on our lives, the call on your lives, the call on each of our lives. Peter, come out of the boat. Come to me. Come to me. Keep your eyes fixed on me. Evening came. The boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, far from safety, in other words. For the wind was against them. Early in the morning he came. Jesus came walking on the water. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were afraid. They were terrified. They were saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Now sometimes, when you're so full of fear, when I'm so full of fear, fear can try to block you, can try to block me, from recognizing Jesus' call to safety. The disciples were terrified. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come onto the water to you." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water. But then he noticed the strong wind, the thing that was against him. He became frightened again. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately responded, reached out his hand to Peter, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Because when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. When Peter did what Christ said he could walk on water, when he reached out his hand and Jesus pulled him out from the fear, the wind ceased. Pastor Paul, last week I think it was talking about the loving Father girding up his loins, running to us, calling his child, calling his son, calling his children, and welcoming them back home. Back home because we have a God who created us and knew us and knitted us together in our mother's womb. He knew us when time began, when he called time into being. He calls us home, and what's more, he rejoices and welcomes each person. Whatever we think we've done or not done, to ourselves, to others, he rejoices and welcomes us home. Home to him, because that's how he created us to be with him. So listen to his call. If you've been through the mill this week, if you're still in the mill, if you're still under the cosh, if you're still drowning, or if you've been drowning this week, if you've got bills that don't know where the money's going to come from, if you've got people on your back, if you've got fear grasping you, if your heart has been broken, if your heart is broken, if your heart is in pieces, if your body is broken, if your mind is in pieces, if your mind is broken, God calls. Stuff like a mental or physical battering ram in life, stuff comes against us and tries to get in. Jesus is a barrier and a block. And what's more, he can just reach in and get it out and throw it away. He takes it. Pastor Paul was talking last week about the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation, the helmet protecting your mind, the sword of God's word. Pastor Paul mentioned last week that the sword was about the word of God at that time. These days, he mentioned we need an anti-tank gun. There weren't tanks in Jesus' time. But we have whatever weapon we need, whether it's an anti-tank gun, whether it's a missile launcher. Not just the launcher, but the missiles to go in it, to combat anything, any stuff that tries to against us. Does that sound violent, the word of God, talking about anti-tank guns and missile launchers? So is God's word violent? Is it, you know, with all the war that's going on in the world, all the war that's going on in our minds and bodies? Let me tell you about God's word being violent. God so loved the world. John 3:16. It's not going to come up on the screen. But God so loved the world. His love enables us to speak his word with the most powerful grace and love that there is into any situation and into our lives. And into that stuff, into that fear, into that thing that is trying to rob, steal, and destroy us. So how do we respond? How should we respond? When we're in the boxing ring, and the referee has gone past 9 on his count, and we're on the deck, how should we respond? Jesus put his heart, his mind and body into doing his Father's will. At a cost, yes. But what a victorious prize he won. Each of you and each that he has called. He gave all his heart, not just a piece of it. Adam and Eve hid. God never hides from us. He comes looking. His love's not passive. It's never disengaged. It's always present. It hangs on every word we say. God's love keeps its promises. It keeps its word. And it's wild for you and me. His love's not fractured. It eases and clears and cures and heals a troubled mind, a body, toothache. I was once asked to pray for a blister. I did think, this is healing ministry. And I've just been asked to pray for a blister. I prayed for the blister. God heard the prayer. Faith is where you put your heart. God's love is not restless. It's not passive. It's never disengaged. It's always, 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 always present. God answers our needs. He knows what any and every spiritual weapon we need. He's the victor. Amen. Lord, help me, Peter said. And Jesus plucked him out and said, just believe in me. Trust me. Have faith. Have more faith. Have a mustard seed. Jesus wants us to be surrounded in his love, to rest in his love, to rest in his confidence, not in our insincerity, not in our insecurities, but in his sincerity, in his security, in his embrace, the loving Father running down the road. Peter, come to me. This is where he created us. Each of us to be, and where he calls us to be with him. He calls us to be found. He knows where we are. Found by us to him. We were born out of his love. Into his love we are called back to be. Like the sun, who turned round and repented and said, Father, I come to you to do whatever work. And the Lord said, come back into my house and have my richest gifts. Welcome home. You don't have to force God's love. He holds nothing back. Because he's taken it all on the cross. God's love changes everything. Everything you believe about love already in human terms. Everything that you think you know. That I think I know about God's love. Just multiply it. There's going to be some Bible verses that come up on the screen. The first one is Romans 8. Verse 32. The verses that come up on the screen are from the New Living Translation. Let me read you from the New Revised Standard Version that I have here. Romans 8:32. God did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, for each of you. For you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for everyone. So will he not with Jesus also give us everything else? Will he not also give us everything else? He doesn't run away, he gives us everything. It's not in his nature to withhold from us, from any of us. When he says he loves you, there's no strings attached. It's not human love, it's God's love. God's love that called us into being. Just let it sink in. Let it sink in, the call that he has on you. So he doesn't give his heart in pieces. He doesn't hide from us. So why do not we give our entire heart to him? Why do we say, well, you can't have that piece because that piece isn't very nice? Why do we do that? He knows what breaks our heart. He knows what bits are broken. Whether it's 99.9% fixed or whether it's 99.9% broken. He knows. He knows what's broken it. But he knows where all the pieces are. And he says, let me go and find them because I know where they are. Give them to me. Don't hide from them. Don't hide from me. Don't hide those pieces. I know where they are. Just ask me to get them. And I gather them up for you. And I'll heal them. And I'll put them all together. To restore. By his blood. Whether it's your heart, whether it's your mind, whether it's your body. Let him heal it. Pastor Paul's been talking about being adopted into his family and what that meant in Jesus' time. When someone was adopted into a Roman family, they became inheritors, they became heirs. J24/7 upstairs this morning are looking at Hannah handing Samuel over to God. To be adopted. Adopted is being freed from slavery. Freed from the slavery of the world. Freedom from being a slave to a misguided will. Whether that misguided will is our own. Or whether it's one that's been put on us. Freedom from the manipulation of others. As an adopted child, any debts that were attached would be wiped clean and not passed from generation to generation. That type of inheritance was incredibly amazing in that culture at that time, but pales into insignificance compared with God's inheritance for each of you and me. Can we have Galatians chapter 4, verse 7, please? You are no longer a slave, but a son. Whether you're male or female, you are a son of God. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Jesus offers each of us a free, no holds barred, choice to accept his wholeness and his healing. The wholeness and the healing that comes from saying, God, I acknowledge you. Jesus, I thank you for what you did on the cross. I thank you for your salvation message. I give my life to you freely as my Lord, my Master, my Savior. And I do freely. Because I know that that's the best place to be. When I step off that path, step off that route, step off that grid, the further I step off, the more stuff tries to bother me, affects me. And then a little nudge comes along. And when I don't hear it right, God sends someone else to give me a kick up the backside. To say, hey, you, get back on that path again. And when I do, Jesus, thank you. You have this call for me to do today. You have this call for me to do with this next person. Thank you, Jesus. You are there before me. When we are adopted and accepted, that's our acceptance of Christ, so that he gave his life that we can live. And live in that new life that's offered. And recognize that we're his heir. It has an amazing freedom. Can I have the next verse, please? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Now this was in the context of the restoration of Jerusalem in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Pastor Paul's preached about this a little bit in recent times. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you. Take delight in you with gladness. Gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. In the New Revised Standard Version, it says, and I think we knew this today in worship singing, the Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you and you and you and you with loud singing. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. And he will exult over you with loud singing. Get out of the boats, Peter. He takes great delight in you, in whoever you are, who you are. Let us not hide. If we have accepted Christ, let him in more. Don't hide that peace away that he knows where it is. Let him gather it up. Let him make you whole. Not just for you, for everyone here. For this body, for your family, for your friends, for your workplaces, for everyone out in the community. Let him make you whole. Because that's how you're designed to be. That's the fullness. We've heard and we've sung over us. God's voice calms like thunder. The power of his word. Embrace it when we sing these songs. Our songs are chosen specifically because they're scriptural and they're truth. And the power in his word. He is the mighty warrior who gives victory. So why do we hide? Why? Just accept his love, his peace, and be renewed. And then he sings over us with loud, joyful songs. He exults, it says in the New Revised Standard Version. He exults over you with loud singing. Now, guys, can you imagine God singing over you? God singing over you. We worship him. We give him the glory. God sings over you. And not just sings, he exalts in his singing. And not just exalts, with loud, vibrant, loving songs, healing songs, picking up brokenness songs. What honor do we have waiting for us? What honor can that message give to everyone in our homes, families, workplaces? Everyone who comes into this building, everyone in this town, wherever we're from. What does he call? He calls each of us. What do we need to do? Hear and respond. I was reminded recently of this story. A man and his son collected rare treasures, paintings, artifacts, antiques. But there was a war and the son went to fight. And fairly soon, the son was killed. But a soldier came to visit his father and said that his son died saving others. The soldier gave the father a drawing of the son that he had made. It wasn't spectacular, but it captured the man's memory of his son. And the father treasured it the rest of his life. The father died, and in his will puts the entire collection to auction. First in the auction list was this slightly weathered, because it had been through a war, picture that this soldier had done of his son. No one bids. The auctioneer tries again and again. No one bids. They just want the treasures. They want the antiques, they want the artifacts, they want the classic paintings. No one bids. The auctioneer calls and says, will no one give anything? And in trepidation, someone in front of everyone else puts his hand up and says, I got £10. That's everything I have. Everything in the world. And he's, all the other people are just starting to bicker and say, get on with it. £10, just get on with it. And the auctioneer asks again, giving everyone a chance. But they're all bickering. They all want everything else. They want the riches. They want the treasures. So the auctioneer gets his gavel, sells the painting, and then says the auction's closed. And all the other people in the room are baying and barking and shouting and saying, what on earth was that about? What about the treasures? And the auctioneer says, according to the will of the Father, whoever takes the Son gets it all. Everything. All the other treasures only come from the Son. So what are we called to do? Many, many things. But each of us here, each of us called to do is just to respond to his call. Being called by our King, Jesus Christ. To respond to his love. People here, whether for the first time ever in their lives, whether it's by trepidation, whether it's because you're running to embrace your Lord again. Who here is going to respond to God's love today? Whoever wants to respond, first time, millionth time, stand. If you're standing for the very first time, thank you. If there's anyone here who can't stand physically, stand in your heart, because our Lord Savior wants to pick up all the pieces and put them together. Don't hide anything from God. You might think you can, but you can't. To stand physically or stand in your heart and in your mind, Jesus gave you everything. Let him calm your fears with exultant, joyful singing. If you are standing for the first time, come and speak to myself, Pastor Paul, anyone on the front row here, and we'll tell you more. Because Jesus says, hello and welcome back. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.